Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason O'Fear, psychic medium Sherry, Joe Pinohu, and Joel Walling. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, but also step outside the box a bit and discuss current events. Great conversation among friends. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for taking the time once again to listen to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason O'Fear, back from a couple-week hiatus, joined with psychic medium Sherry, and we're just going to talk about whatever. There's so much going on in the world, we'll figure something out. I do have one UFO news story to talk about, but Sherry, what's happening?
Oh, nothing much. I've just been doing readings. I'm bodybuilding and doing readings, and life is good. I'm going to tell you this, with the pandemic and everything, it's been really, at first it was really hard to kind of get used to, but now that I'm used to being home and, you know, just going to the store and, you know, just once a week or something like that. I don't know about you, Jason, but I'm really enjoying staying home.
Well, I'm absolutely enjoying staying home. I haven't worked in, about a month. I'm kind of in a unique work situation. I have some disability issue problems with my back, and my employer of nearly 6 years has decided that they no longer want to accommodate my work restrictions. And so what is going to happen, I have no idea, but I'll know tomorrow that there's a meeting. I might be cleaning hospital rooms or doing something. Normally I'm in a laboratory, which honestly, I'm kind of burned out of the laboratory life. It's kind of crazy. And so I don't know which direction my work life is going, but you know, if I can get some more time off, that's great, because I love sitting at home and watching TV and playing video games and going to casinos and living the life for a month, and I don't want that to end.
So did you start playing poker? Do they open those up now, or how is that situation? Are they still closed, or do they open it up?
So there's a big newish casino up in Washington, in the north of Vancouver, called A&A. It's a pretty large one. It's very nice. I avoid it. I avoid casinos because I just find you don't win anything at casinos. And my thing has always been, you know, the video lottery machines from the state. But I was getting so bored. I was, you know, going up there, and I just, you know, I lost a lot of money. And then the state recently opened up to where we could do it, and I still haven't found my groove. Like, my luck is taking a dive. Sometimes I go in and I just kill it, and you know, it's not happening. So that's what I've been doing, and just hanging out at home and not very productive. I did do one good thing, which is I have resumed my daily power walks, and I've just been sitting around getting fatter and fatter, and I walk up a flight of stairs, and you know, I can feel it. I'm just getting out of shape. So I was like, you know what? I gotta just, I mean, even if it's 20, 30 minutes a day, get out there and huff it. So I gotta get my heart.
Well, I have a dog, so I go out and take a walk too. You know, it's nice to be able. It's not a power walk per se. It's more of a leisure walk. So, but I get out, get some fresh air. You know, do a little bit of martial arts and just keep my circulation going.
No one likes to walk with me because I walk fast, because I feel like that's what you have to do. And unfortunately, in my where I live now, there aren't very many hills. And what I really need is hills. So I don't know. You know, it's mostly flat or slight incline, but, you know, it's better than nothing. It's better than just sitting at home in bed all the day. You know, I'm not one of these people that sleep. I only operate on several hours of sleep a night. So I'm not one of these people that just waste their life in bed. I actually am, you know, I'm up at 6 in the morning, and I may have had 4 hours of sleep. But, you know, it's life. I
wow.
Have to sleep in. Maybe I need to take a pill or something.
Yeah, you've always been like that, though, Jason, as long as I've known you in the 5.5 years that we've been together on radio, you've always had a problem with sleeping.
Yeah, it comes. I tell you, you know, when I was working, I worked so hard. And, you know, it's not terribly physical to laboratory, but I'm literally was on my feet 8 or 10 hours a day. I get home, my ankles are like balloons from standing all day. But I'm doing stuff constantly. And I get home and I'm tired, and that really helped me fall asleep, was I'm exhausted by the time I get home mentally and kind of physically, and now I don't have that. So now my insomnia is even worse because I'm not really exerting myself too much.
Exactly. Have you thought of maybe getting a treadmill?
No, I definitely could. I have a house, so I should probably get something like that. I've thought about it before. I definitely have the room.
Yeah, you can get a treadmill and do intervals, or you can do slow walk, fast walk. You can go as all the way up to maybe a 20% incline. I've seen the machines where they go all the way up to 20% incline. That's pretty steep.
I should do that, actually. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I should look into that, because I do a spare room. I can set something like that up. I really would like to lose about, 70 pounds. I'm a big dude. I mean, I'm not morbidly obese, but I'm also tall. I'm 270 pounds.
Okay. How tall are you, Jason? Seriously.
I'm 6'2¼".
Okay. Wow. Huh.
I got to lose 70 pounds.
Ideally.
But that's not normal. Yeah, that would get me close enough to where I'm just slightly overweight. If I can hit 200, that would be great. The funny thing is when I was younger, I was bone thin. There was a time I was 160 pounds. And then that, you turn the age of 21 and you start drinking, and that's where things went downhill. I haven't drank in years, mind you, but, you know, I was a heavy drinker and just put on the pounds. And then I quit drinking, and I lost 20, 30 pounds right out of the bat from just quitting drinking. But my metabolism must be slowing, because I'm gaining it. It must be all the chicken wings and hamburgers.
Well, do you cook, or do you have the girlfriend cook, or do you guys eat out, or how do you? What's your habits on food and everything?
I'm cooking a lot of frozen stuff, but I also do cook, and you know, it's not the healthiest stuff, because you know, healthy stuff doesn't taste very good. If it doesn't have cheese or fat, it's not very delicious.
I know, it gets boring too. Uh-oh. You want?
Yeah.
I was really strictly on the building diet. Oh, my gosh. I got so tired, and weighing my food and eating just nothing but chicken and asparagus. And, you know, it's just the same old thing day in and day out. It's just so there was no, you can season your food, but you had to make sure it had no sugar in it. It just got real, you know, I got tired of it. I'm not, you know, competing up to get on the stage anyway, so.
I'm pretty good about sugar. You know, I don't eat candy although this last week I actually bought regular Coke, and there's some gelato in the freezer, but I'm not one of these people that just eats cookies all the time. I decided, I was thinking about it today, you know what, I got to get rid of this Coke and stuff. Yeah, I'm not a big soda drinker. I drink a lot of seltzer water, but I don't drink sodas. And,
wow.
Yeah. You know, I imagine a lot of people out there doing due to the pandemic are gaining a lot of weight. I'm sure I'm not the only one. One thing I did want to mention with the pandemic, I know everybody's sick of hearing about COVID-19, but this is kind of interesting. A development out of China, three ice cream samples, chocolate, strawberry, and taro, tested positive for traces of the coronavirus after they were submitted for food inspection in the northeastern China's Tianjin municipality. So that's kind of interesting, and they're not sure of the cause of this or where it became contaminated at. You know, they quarantined the 1,600 people at work in these various facilities, and the infected samples were made from milk and whey powder imported from New Zealand and Ukraine, which affected only nearly 5,000 boxes, and so that's pretty interesting. Food is starting to get out there and be infected with coronavirus. They're saying that this whole thing, instead of being a pandemic, is going to be endemic, which I totally agree with. It's just going to be kind of one of the things we have to live with. My personal stance on it is I'm still resistant to getting the vaccination, and I'm going to stick with that for now. Johnson & Johnson just got emergency approval for their one-shot dose, which is a complete different method than the mRNA ones that Pfizer and Moderna are using. They've got a different thing going on. So if I feel like I'm going to get it, I think I'm going to stay away from the RNA one and do a little bit more research into this Johnson & Johnson thing. And it doesn't sound like it's quite as effective, but it seems to be pretty effective. And it's, again, done in a completely different way without the whole RNA thing.
Wow. Huh. Yeah, oh. I don't know enough evidence. I'm not going to go either way. You know, this is what gets me. I'm going to do a little bit of a rant, Jason. I don't know how you feel about this, but, you know, when you get people that are, you know, judge you whether you're going to get a vaccine or not, it's not really anybody else's business. I mean, that's how I feel. It's a personal choice. It's your body. And you do the due diligence, whether you're for the vaccine or against the vaccine. That should be a personal choice, just like you're voting. And so if you start judging people because, you know, because you're voting a certain way or you're not taking the vaccine or whatever, I think that's on the other person. I think that's wrong.
I totally agree with you. And I just read a story the other day. I don't remember the specifics of it, but there is a country out there that is in the process, or at least entertaining the idea of making it mandatory. And also, if you do not get the vaccine, you'd be fined like something like 6,800 euros. And I am not for mandatory vaccination. And it is a possible thing that could come down the pipe. It would not be the first time where vaccines have been mandated. I just hope it doesn't come to that. And honestly, if it does, I'm going to do everything I can to resist it.
Yeah, and so if you let's say an example, if they're Ticketmaster, they were talking about at one time. I don't know if this is, I don't do the followers, but I thought that Ticketmaster, if you were not vaccinated or going to be vaccinated, they're not going to admit you. You know, to me that's kind of like prejudice. I mean, I understand it's a pandemic and I understand it's validated, but to require that and control people. Well, it's like holding a carrot in, you know, up in the air and saying, well, if you don't do what I want you to do, then you're not going to get what you want, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and how are they going to monitor all that? Are they going to set up a system to keep everybody's personal health information that everybody can access, like the airlines? It's just getting Big Brother. It was suggested somewhere online that this whole vaccination thing is just another way to basically control people's information and keep tabs on people.
My husband was thinking about the same thing along that line. Is it a way to track people, control them, and make demands and things like that? It's all about control. That's what he says.
Yeah, it's just like 9/11, you know, the Patriot Act and all that, where, the government takes and takes and takes, and then the citizenship pushes back, and then the government backs off, taking your liberties. and, you know, they just take it to the edge, and this could be another thing to where they will have more information on you, ability to monitor, ability to track, and it's kind of scary. And maybe it's a conspiracy theory, maybe that's not the case, but it seems to me like it could be a possibility.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. Yeah, what do you do? That's the thing. How do you get out of this scot-free? Is there a free card or whatever you call it?
Well, once they start coming out with vaccination cards, I'm sure there'll be plenty of places online where you can print up a counterfeit one.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, just a... So you can fly? I don't know. It has to be, you know, I really feel that way. It should be an individual choice. You shouldn't have to punish people either way, whether you take the vaccine or not. You know what I mean? Why don't you segregate? If you're worried about people, you know, from the vaccines, why don't you have two separate ones that are unvaccinated and ones that are vaccinated if you want to be that way? I mean, geez, that's crazy.
I may end up getting it, because I have family that refuses to come visit me unless I get it. And so at some point I might get it, just not quite yet. And as I've said many times in the past, it's not like I'm not an anti-vaxxer. In order to work in healthcare, you've got to get vaccinations and or prove that you have the antibodies for things, you know. And so I've done it. I've had all that. I've never had a reaction to a vaccination. But, you know, I'm just sitting back and watching a little bit.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's how I am. I'm not going to say yay or nay, but I want to do a little bit more research and, you know that if I'm going to do it, I'm going to feel confident about it. Yeah, you don't want to
have
nothing to go.
Yeah, I have no doubt it's saving lives. I know coronavirus is real. I personally know people that have made really, really sick. As I mentioned before, working in a hospital, I didn't see that side of it. You know, you see on the news where all these wards are full and all that. I didn't see that at all. When they're reporting that the ICUs are totally full, at least with the place that I work, the ICU, if it's full, none of them have coronavirus. I mean, you just have sick people. There's always people in the ICU that need critical care. I didn't see it. I'm not saying that's not the case other places, but I don't know. It kind of makes me feel like things are just kind of, there's some sort of agenda why this is being shoved down our throats the way it is. Of course, I could be wrong. I'm just a overweight big ogre.
No, you're not. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, life is what it is, and all we can do is just I don't know. I'm like you, Jason. I just try to stay home. I really do. And I, you know, my personality always have to be in the limelight, not limelight, but be with people and everything. But I really enjoy being home. I deal with people who I want to deal with. And I love my work. I enjoy the people that I serve. I love them dearly. And I just enjoy being at home. I really do. I don't, you know, it's almost like, you know, people can be trouble. A lot of drama, and I just want to stay out of it.
Yeah, well, if I lived where you did, I would enjoy being home as well. Unfortunately, I'm in City Central, so I don't get the whole... you know, nature thing.
My dilemma is I don't want that, you know. As simple as what bird feeder am I going to pick so that the blue jays don't pick out all the food before the chipmunks get. That's my little dilemma.
like that. So I was looking at one of the stories, you know, kind of to delve in. The two things I wanted to talk about this evening is one, a UFO story that is recent and interesting. So I want to mention that real quick. And then I want to talk about, and this just popped into my head. We're kind of winging it tonight like we often do. But One of the things I want to talk about are disasters and disaster preparedness. And so I'm, if you don't mind, Sherry, let me share this story. And if you want, we could talk a little bit about disasters. It's not very paranormal, but it is interesting. And it's also good, a good subject, because you never know when the next one's going to strike.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
go for it.
Okay, so the latest story coming out, you know, we talk a lot about UFOs. Many of you know that's my favorite subject. I've had my own personal experiences. The latest thing that's being reported, American Airlines, this is very recent. There was a pilot that was flying in New Mexico. A strange long cylindrical object was spotted over New Mexico on Sunday by an American Airlines pilot, and no one can figure it out. It was not picked up on anybody's radar, and very interesting. The pilot said that it looked like a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile. The thing was moving very fast. It went right over the top of this, off the top of them, and nobody can figure out what it was. It obviously wasn't a missile. The various ranges out there, such as White Sands Missile Range, said they weren't conducting any tests, and like I said, it wasn't picked up on radar. I also heard a blurb yesterday that the FBI were investigating it, but it seems like a very credible sighting that this pilot saw a large cylindrical object that basically passed him. Very interesting. There are also other things going on behind the scenes with regards to UFOs. There are people that have worked in the intelligence community and the military that are now saying UFOs are real. And as we see disclosure expand, we're going to start hearing more of that. But it seems to be heating up, because more and more people that are very credible are coming out and saying, hey, UFOs are real. It's the real deal. So stay tuned for more of that stuff to come out. And we've known disclosure's been coming for some time. At least the last few years, we keep getting little tidbits of information, and it's continuing to come out. It used to be back in the day when, you know, you're a pilot or you work in the Air Force, that if you saw something weird, you didn't want to talk about it, because one of two things: either people would just think you're crazy or you're hallucinating, or the level of paperwork that was involved. So a lot of pilots would just not want to deal with it and keep it to themselves. But now, as time moves on, more people are reporting it, and now even credible individuals in the government are coming out to tell us what they know. So stay tuned as the years go on. We may actually get closer and closer to an answer, what's going out there in the world of UFOs.
Wow, really? There's a lot of UFOs that they're not even talking about, you know? They're keeping hush-hush. I wonder, what's your take, Jason? Why is it that they're really quiet about it? Why is it so secretive?
Well, my personal opinion is that the vast majority of the UFOs are not extraterrestrial craft, that they are stuff being tested, you know, classified military projects, classified Air Force projects is probably, I would say, the majority of what's being reported out there. So, of course, you know, we live in a world where everybody is suspicious of everybody else, and we don't want our secrets going anywhere, and we don't want our perceived enemies to have the technology that we have, so it's super secret. And then I believe the small portion of the sightings are potentially alien craft, and it wouldn't surprise me. I think there's a lot more going on that we are made aware of, and my hope is one day to really know what's happening. Supposedly, there's 7 alien craft in an area called S4, south of Area 51, that they've had since the 80s. But, you know, who knows whether that's true or not. There's so much disinformation out there.
Yeah, that's true. That's crazy. Yeah, I've seen a UFO in Walmart. Me and my friend, she and I were going into Walmart one night, and late at night. We like to shop at night when nobody's there. That was before the real pandemic came through. And so, anyway, we were there, and all of a sudden I see these lights, but they weren't moving. They were way up in the sky. But they weren't moving. It was crazy. They weren't even moving at all.
Were they brighter than stars and lower than stars?
They were, I don't know if they were, I would say brighter than stars, but they were two lights. They were two lights in the air. Was it one light or two? Maybe I'm wrong. I can't remember. I got to ask her. Boy. Anyway, there was either one or two lights, and they were just not moving. And they were real close. I mean, very, very close. It was weird. So I told her, what do you think of that? And she says, I think it's the UFO. I said, yeah, that's kind of unusual, isn't it? It was weird. It was just kind of strange.
You know, one time several years ago, I used to love doing my power walks at night. And I was walking through the neighborhood, and I see these lights in the sky. It was like red and blue and flashing. And it was really low, like, you know, treetop, a little higher than treetop. And I was like, oh, my God, this is the first time I'm finally going to see a UFO. And then I realized what it was. It was somebody flying their drone at night. Because then I could hear it. Oh, okay. Somebody's flying their drone.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Jeez. Yeah, so it's a big one. It's a really big one. Yeah. I don't know enough about ufology, and, you know, I've been to the Ghost Conference and, you know, that kind of stuff, but I'm kind of like, oh, really? Okay, you know. I'm still learning. Still learning.
Yeah. We're all still learning. You know, it's hard to navigate through all of the disinformation and all that. But hopefully we'll get some more credible sightings or credible information one of these days. And like I said, it seems to be going that direction. So I hope that it will continue to do so.
Yeah, so, exactly. Go ahead.
I was watching a movie, a disaster movie, the other day. Actually, I watched two things. I watched a new release, or at least a new release that I could download on Amazon, and I can't remember what it was called. But basically, it was the Earth was being hit with a huge meteor, and these people had to survive kind of thing. We've seen those movies, Deep Impact, a bunch of times before. And then I watched a special on the History Channel regarding the super volcano at Yellowstone National Park. You know, if that thing blows up, we're all pretty much dead. So it kind of got me on a little tangent of disasters. We live in the Northwest, you know, we're in part of this whole huge ring of fire. Pretty much if there's a hill or mountain in the Northwest, it's a volcano, may not be active or not, but we're surrounded by volcanoes. And we also have off the coast of Oregon, it's the, I want to say it's the Pacific Plate and the North American Plate or something like that. Anyways, those things fracture or collide every few thousand years, and they've been saying for quite some time that the superquake, or also a megathrust earthquake up here, is overdue. And I know that the situation, I believe, is the same in California. And then we look back, you know, a decade and a half, or within the last 10 years of some of the significant earthquakes that have happened, the whole situation with Fukushima, can't talk straight tonight, and then the Indonesian earthquake that caused all of the massive tsunamis. So it got me thinking about being prepared for this kind of thing, because when this happens, it's going to be pandemonium. I mean, you're not going to be able to get to a store. You're not going to be, the roads are going to be congested. You're not going to be able to run to the hills unless you're on foot. So it got me thinking about what can I do to be prepared if something like that happens. So if you prepare and you spend a lot of money prepare, your situation is going to be a lot better than somebody that tries to prepare after the fact. We see this all the time. You can see small fractions of it. For instance, we just had a snowstorm. So before the storm came, people are slamming the stores, you know, when we have warning of bad weather, the stores are packed. And if something happens on a massive scale, you can imagine you're not going to be able to do anything. And you certainly can't rely on the government to take care of you. And we saw what happened with Hurricane Katrina. So I thought preparedness would be kind of something good to talk about. So what I've done is I begin slowly. So every time I go to a grocery store, I get a few cans of this, you know, some ramen for that, and I'm starting to stockpile food incrementally in very small increments. I'm not going to spend hundreds of dollars at one time. And I think everybody should do that because we just don't know when something's going to happen. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we've been trying to stock up a little bit too. You know, not like a year's supply, but, you know, I always save, you know, kind of save it for a rainy day in case you get shut down. You know, what happens if we were snowed in for a week? You got to have some kind of, you know, ration, right?
Yeah, there were, when we had this snowstorm up here, there were people that, there may still be people without power. There were people without power for in excess of a week, thousands of people with excess of a week, without power. You know, all their food, all your refrigerated food. It's crazy. So we have to be prepared for something like that.
How were you affected? Were you guys in pretty bad shape? I heard Clackamas County was in pretty bad shape. They were traveling all the way from Clackamas to Hillsboro and Costco because they were out of power and they were trying to get some supplies.
Unfortunately, I wasn't really affected because I have enough food. I don't know, maybe at this point 2 or 3 weeks of food. But the way that my home is situated, all the snow that got pushed up against my house, so there was literally 4 feet of snow past the front door. And it's funny because my car was in the driveway, so it got buried in snow. And I tried to get it out. I dug it out. And as I had it in reverse, you know, I floored it, and I could tell that the snow and ice, it just wasn't snow, it was ice as well, was really close to the underside of my car, so I gunned it trying to get it out, and then I high-centered my car on the snow and ice, and I couldn't get it. I mean, we tried digging it out, digging out the tires. It wasn't the tires, because the weight of the car, you'd have to climb under the car and chisel all that out, and so I worked on it for an hour and a half, couldn't get the car out. And I was like, you know what, screw this. I grabbed my four-wheel drive Ford Escape, and I literally just put a shirt between the bumper of my little sports car and the bumper of my Escape, and I pushed it in, into the garage.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah, that part kind of sucked. I shouldn't have tried to go anywhere, and I didn't need to go anywhere. So yeah,
Wow.
We have to be prepared for it. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a massive earthquake on the West Coast soon. I mean, this has got to happen. The Northwest has not had a natural disaster in the last, I think the last significant thing that happened up here was the floods back in the early 90s, I think it was. Early to mid 90s, there was massive flooding and all the rivers like went everywhere. And I believe it was classified as a, you know, disaster. So we're due up here in the Northwest. If you live in the Northwest, man, you got to be prepared.
You do. Yeah, and we're in the, what they call the San Andreas fault line.
Yep, San Andreas fault line.
Yep, we're in the California, the Bay Area, and everything else is all right there. Yeah, and people are predicting, oh, it's going to go off and, you know, that kind of thing. It's going to, once it splits open, you know, we might be shattered. The earth is going to be shattered.
You hear people talking about it's going to be so bad that California is going to break off. And, you know, I don't think it'll be that bad. But, it's crazy. Like, we only think about things when they happen and when we should be thinking about things before they happen. We should be prepared. And the other terrible thing about this, if one of these things happen, the infrastructure of this country is not great. The vast majority of bridges are not, they're old, they're rickety, they're going to collapse, especially up here in Portland, where we have tons of bridges separating the east side from the west side. And a lot of those are just going to collapse because they're in disrepair, they're not maintained. You know, there's been several cases, I don't know, terribly recently, where bridges have just collapsed and killed people, and not here in Oregon, but in other places of the country, because our infrastructure is so terrible and not maintained. And so it's going to be a nightmare.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know, Jason. I don't know what we're going to do. You know, what do you suggest? I don't know. Just be prepared, huh, for the worst. Be prepared for the worst.
Well, my suggestion is the most important thing, and this depends on where you live. I do not worry about water too much because I live in the Northwest and there's water everywhere, but everybody should have some way to purify water. My big concern, because we live in a very watery area, is primarily food. Stock up on food. And they say you should have, what, a week or 2 weeks? Get as much as you can, and then keep an eye on the dates on the food. Now, just because something says best buy use date, that doesn't mean that it's going to go bad after that day. A lot of that stuff lasts for years and years and years. But what I do personally is I go through and cycle through the food. So I'll eat it. You know, if it's getting close to that best buy date, yeah, I'll eat it, and then I'll replace it with something newer. But most of the foods, the canned foods, the meats, the ramens, all that stuff, anything canned, lasts a really long time. You can go on YouTube and watch people eat food from 1940. I mean, there's just
like
a crazy
spam.
Oh yeah, spam.
Like spam.
I don't know that I've seen spam, but people will take all these military rations from World War II and they'll eat them. I've seen people eat cereal from the 80s. I've seen people drink soda from the 80s. I mean, canned meats, vegetables. I've seen people eat macaroni and cheese from the 40s. You know, so that stuff lasts an incredible amount of time. And you can go online and see how long stuff will last. They actually have lists out there that, you know, your ramen will last 10 years or blah, blah, blah sort of thing. So food, food, food. The other thing that concerns me is, if a disaster happens, everybody's going to do whatever it takes to feed themselves. I mean, that's just the way it is. And grocery stores are going to be ransacked. And then after people can't get food from grocery stores, they're going to start hitting houses. So I'm a big advocate of self-defense and having firearms and protecting what you do have. Because all you have to do is read some of the stories from what happened down there from Hurricane Katrina and how savage people became, you know. So,
wow.
The best to be.
Yeah, a lot of pilfering.
Yeah, there's, I mean, murders.
Oh, my goodness.
Just about everything. So I believe that everybody should have a means to defend themselves and also other things, you know, first aid kits, you know, stuff like that. Some people take it to a next level, and I don't have the financial means to do this, but, you know, if the economy collapses, money will be worthless. That's happened many times in history, where that's why you can go to some countries in Africa and get a bill that's 100 billion whatevers, because the money is essentially worthless. And so some people stockpile things that are worth stuff, guns, ammo, gold, silver, things that can be bartered that will have value in a shit-hit-the-fan situation. I don't have the money to go buy pounds of silver, so, you know, food is going to be a very barterable thing as well. So, you know, food is the big one for me.
Yeah, food is a big one. Exactly. Wow. So how you're in the medical arena? How long can you keep medication? Like if you have Advil or Tylenol or you have antibiotics, how long can you keep it? Even after the due date, whether it's open or not, does it make a difference?
I think it varies on the medication. I think medication is a lot more fragile than food. So if you look at your prescription, it'll say use by this date. I know this from personal experience because I have taken medication beyond that date, and every medication is going to be different. But in the instances that I personally was involved, the medication just degrades over time. So say if you have this pill, you take it 2 years down the road, it's not going to have the same sort of therapeutic effect if it was fresh. So I would be careful of medication. You should not take medication beyond the date. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even close to that. So I'm just personally, from my experience, medication's a little bit different than having a 10-year-old can of Spam. You want your medication to be current. There's a reason. They're not just trying. I don't think the pharmaceutical industry, and maybe I could be wrong, but I don't think the pharmaceutical industry is saying, hey, you can only use it for this length of time just to get you to go back and get more. There's a lot, I believe there's a lot of data that, you know, says that medications are affected over time, and in my experience, they were. So, yeah, I wouldn't play with that. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. If I got something that says it's expired, I ain't taking it. Unless it's a life or death situation. Or, you know.
Yeah, I heard that a lot of the medications, you know, can be not as, especially if it's only I would say if it's only a month or two, I wouldn't worry about it. But if it's a year, I would not say, you know, the effects and everything are not even, they deteriorate over time.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a case it's like it's going to bag and kill you. The only time I've only heard of it basically losing its effectiveness. Maybe there are medications out there that, you know, once it's a day past when you're supposed to take it, it's going to hurt you. But I don't know. That would be great to talk to a pharmacist to see, to learn more about it, because I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, it's good to know those kind of things, you know, and like you said, certain things you want to keep in stock. You never know if we're going to be having some kind of crisis where you can't get to the stores or stores are not being stocked up for whatever reason. That can be a problem, too.
Yeah, you have an earthquake. Our country is run on semis, trucks. I mean, that's how we get the vast majority of things. If you got a road, a highway, an interstate that's been damaged by an earthquake, it's not that they don't have the stuff. They just can't get it to you.
Oh, wow.
Because they can't use the road. And everything is going to shut down. Power is going to go out. You could be without power for months. The stores won't be able to get the food. And people are, well, savages. I mean, and I would be too. If I'm hungry, I'm going to find a way to get some food, you know. And it's just best to be as prepared as humanly possible. I'm not saying to fill your entire garage with top ramen. But you should be able to have enough food to get you by for, I think, a month.
Yeah, that's probably if you can. Yeah, definitely. Wow. Huh. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jason.
Even when this pandemic, you know, started, there was a rush on everything. You go to the store, shelves are bare. At least that's the case that I saw up here, and I was really getting panicky because everybody was getting panicky because the stores weren't stocked. And that was just because of the beginning of this pandemic, you know? So imagine something 1,000 times worse happening, like a 9.5 earthquake off the coast and 500-foot tsunamis and people losing power for years. You can imagine sort of chaos that's going to ensue from something like that. And all you have to do is look at other disasters and to see what happened. I keep using Katrina. I mean, there's tons of other ones where you have the Loma earthquake in California, the 6.9 that devastated San Francisco, bridge collapse, all those old buildings collapsed. I mean, it's crazy. We got to be prepared.
Wow. Yeah. So, I don't know. That's crazy. it's really nice to be able to go and, I'm going to switch over. I really want to thank our co-host, our substitute co-host for our show, Joel Walling and Joe Panohu. And they've been really wonderful filling in when we're, you know, we're busy or we're at work or, you know, ill or whatever the, you know, the legitimate excuses. But I just want to thank them both, Joe and Joel, for batting up and filling in. I have no questions when I ask them, hey, can you fill in for us? They are right there, Johnny on the spot. Absolutely.
Yeah, big thanks to those guys being part of our team here at Paranormal Horizons.
Yeah.
This has been going on for, I don't even know how many episodes, 300 and something. And I want to keep it going. And
yay, that's awesome. That's awesome. And our page is weird. You know, I don't like the manipulation with the pages, but I really feel that we're not reaching our people. I don't know what the manipulation is, but we have a lot of people that like and follow us. And I think that whether we put memes on or Pete Wren puts on his, you know, Canadian paranormal stuff on or things like that, I don't know what it is, but sometimes maybe we're not being reached. All those people are not being reached. I almost think that there's a manipulation or some kind of algorithm or something going on. I have no idea.
Yeah, something clearly happened. Facebook, at some point, a year or two, however long it's been, decided it doesn't like us. So we were having posts that would reach millions of people, and then all of a sudden, you know, our posts aren't going anywhere. And so I don't know if we made Facebook mad or what, but we were on fire for quite some time there. And then it literally overnight, it just died.
Yep. Yep. And I don't know if it's something, I don't want to pick names or anything, but I wonder if it kind of threw everything out when I think Maria posted something and we were in Facebook jail. Remember how we were trying to get back on? It was crazy. We couldn't even get on. We were all, she posted something. They got upset and offended, and we were all in jail. We took the brunt of it. Yeah. And that's from then on, it was, from then on, things went downhill. We didn't, go ahead.
It wasn't even something bad. That's the thing. You can't please everybody. I mean, you put something out there that you think's funny, and it's not clearly not offensive, but of course there's always going to be somebody out there, a Karen or a somebody, that gets offended by it, you know?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because people are just whack.
I know.
I mean, we're not.
I know.
It's just funny, harmless stuff. Doesn't have anything to do with politics or race or anything like that. And then somebody gets offended because you posted a picture of an ice cream cone with a smiley face because they don't like ice cream. And then you get penalized from Facebook because they don't like ice cream either. I don't know.
Maybe they'll like something. Who knows? Oh, my gosh, it's crazy. That's crazy.
Maybe Facebook did it because they want people to buy likes. There's always that, you know. They gave us a little taste of what it's like to be popular, but I don't want to throw money to buy likes. People should like – you should be able to reach people without having to pay money.
I don't buy – yep. And all like with me, when I have my you know, my reviews, if you look at my reviews, they've even taken some of my reviews off. I think in the past of all the times, and just roughly, I should have about 250 reviews on Facebook of my work I do as traditional Chinese medicine and as a psychic medium. But they picked off, I don't know why, but they pick and choose, cherry pick what they want, what they don't want, everything else. So I just don't think it's right. I don't even think, honestly, I don't think we're hitting very many people. When they say, oh, we're reaching a certain amount of people, don't believe that, because when you get only 10 or 15 likes, I got a feeling we're not reaching our capacity or not even a tenth of our capacity.
Back in the day, I remember I've seen posts that you and Maria would post, and you have 300,000 people on a single post. And now we'd be lucky to hit 1,000.
Yeah, lucky, huh? Just in one. Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. It's just really strange. Really, really strange. But, yeah, maybe we might need to, and we've gathered our people. We might like to maybe, and also keep this Facebook page, but also look at another alternative, too. You know, we can divert other people, too, so that they can have, you know, free speech and everything. I don't know, Jason. I have no idea. Yeah. But we do have go ahead.
I think Facebook is pretty remarkable. I'm not a big fan of the whole, you know, I'm kind of a conspiracy guy, the whole spying thing and all that, but it does a very good job for what it is, but I agree wholeheartedly that, you know, finding an alternative, to get started with an alternative, you know, now versus when Facebook goes under, whatever. I mean, nothing lasts forever. You know, MySpace died out when Facebook came along, and I don't think Facebook's going to last forever either. So we should find an alternative and just to get started early. But the hard thing is to know which alternative's going to be the good one, you know, the next big thing. Are you there? We lose Sherry? Houston, we have a problem. Oh, Sherry dropped. Anyway, so actually, we're almost done. So the moral of the story, folks, is be prepared for disasters. We'll give Sherry a couple seconds to come back in. I think her call just dropped. She lives out in the sticks. But yeah, we all need to be prepared for something, for the potential of something in it, you know, in the disaster category. Stock up on food, get basic medical supplies, get all that, be prepared for it, because you don't want to be stuck on the tail end of something bad happening, and then you're going to be one of the people that are frantic trying to get to a store, which will be impossible because the roads will be packed, you won't be able to get into the store because it'll be ransacked. And I'm sure there's people out there that'll believe that that's kind of extreme. It's not going to happen, but it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time and place. And hopefully it doesn't happen, but it's going to happen. I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Be prepared, folks. Just waiting for Sherry to connect back in. We'll give her another minute here, but we're just about done. So, but I can keep talking, rambling on. It's what I do. Hopefully I'm good at it. I don't know if I am. But, actually, maybe I'm not. I'm drawing a blank. So, I guess we can kill it here. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Oh, there she is. She's going to bail me out.
Hey, we got cut off for whatever reason. I got disconnected.
Yeah, the government.
I don't know.
Hey,
I
don't like this talk.
I don't know. I was talking about Dr. Mercula and his girlfriend Elizabeth. She's well known. Thousands and thousands of followers. I mean a lot more than lot of followers with Dr. Mercula. They're engaged, and so I was going to talk to them. I would talk about them, and we just got cut off. It was weird. It was really strange.
Yeah, it's called the Central Intelligence Agency. What was that beep?
I don't know.
Did you just hear a ding? Did you have a ding on your
end? Yeah, I think. Yeah, I probably got my message and stuff. But anyway, I'm calling from another phone. That's weird. Okay.
Well,
so,
you know,
but
with
anyway,
all
I was gonna say, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, some other alternative. They're talking about going on Telegram. So Telegram is their option because he cut his Facebook. They put him on jail, and they banned him, and she's been banned because of all the stuff that they were exposing. the things that, you know, the public shouldn't be aware or think about, and Facebook just kind of cut them off. They said that they were against their policy, so they want to be very transparent about their findings and different things, and they didn't want, I guess, whoever controls Facebook did not want any, some of the stuff exposed, so they banned them.
Yeah, well, I think we should look into that and come up with a, get started on another platform as well. It doesn't hurt to kind of stretch your wings a little bit and be on multiple things and
yep,
stuff like
yep,
that.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, they are definitely on Telegram, you know, just as an alternative. So, yeah, Telegram is a good, it's a good, I've seen it. I'm on it too. It's very good. It's pretty, very, very private. Spectrum is another one too. So that's another one where they regard your privacy and free speech and that kind of thing. But you never know. You never know what's going to happen. I don't know how long it's going to take. Maybe they'll be upset and they'll cut them off. I don't know, just like Parler.
Yep. Well, you know, it looks like
Signal.
Just that
Signal.
Time.
It's called Signal. S-I-G-N-A-L. N-A-L. N-A-L. They are on Signal, too. Dr. Mercula and his journalist fiancée, Elizabeth, they work with all the high people like Highwater, Dell Highwater, all these other people that are in the holistic and conspiracy, but it's proven to be true. Ty and Charlene Bollinger, I've wanted them on our show. Hard to get. They know a lot of stuff about health, you know, that kind of thing. They're not taking the vaccine. They're not. So they're kind of off the beaten path, but it's nice to get, both. To me, it's a matter of getting educated on both sides before you make a decision.
It's always good to be informed. Well, Cher, it's about out of time, and you know what? That means it means it's my dinner time, so I'm going to go eat something.
Yeah, I'm going to have some Vietnamese pho.
Well, you know, yesterday I ordered the pizza from Flying Pie Pizza, and I don't know if anybody out there is familiar with that, but when it's very expensive. But when you get a pizza from Flying Pie, it is literally like a 10-pound pizza. They put so much toppings on it. It's like the toppings is like 2 inches. It's crazy. So, like, normally I would eat half a pizza just because I'm fat. But I can eat 2 slices of Flying Pie and just be completely full. So I may have to throw some of that in the oven.
Oh, my gosh. Where is that located? In Gresham?
There's one in Gresham, and then I think there's one in Portland. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's you got to try it. Anybody that has not had one, you just get a pizza.
It's called Flying Pie, P-I-E?
Yeah, it's expensive, but it's because they give you 10 pounds of
pizza. Okay, what is like a $30 pizza?
I think I paid close to 50.
Okay, all right, but you get what you pay for. That's the whole thing.
Well, and that was Uber Eats, you know, so I paid, I don't know what the actual price would probably be more towards $40. And I got the biggest one, you know, the 18-inch pizza. And, but yeah, it last me like 3 or 4 days versus, you know, a couple days with just your regular pizza. It's pretty amazing.
I love it. I love pizza. And I, knowing you, you put everything, huh? You had everything, loaded the combination?
Usually, but this time I actually decided to try and build my own. So I got sausage, salami, olives, onions, garlic, mushrooms. And the thing still weighed 10 pounds. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And the sausage. Real sausage. It's like not, it's like you can tell that it was the sausage that they use is, you know, that they pinch it with their fingers out of a big loaf or something. It's good.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, check it out.
Okay. I will. I wrote it down and we'll check it out, but we're going to leave and on with next week. We'll see what's going on. But, yeah, next week we'll be on air at 7 o'clock, and hopefully everybody's going to stay safe, be safe, stay warm, and, yeah, just care about people. That's what you can. Care about yourself, but care about people around you.
Yeah, we absolutely need more of that. Well, with that, we'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. West Coast time. Hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week, and I think I'm going to get some Flying Pie pizza. Good night, everyone.
Hey, take care. Hey, peace.